Welcome again, everybody. It is always great to gather with you to give thanks to God and to explore His will for us in this world. Now, last week, I introduced a series that we're going to start here where I'm focusing on a time for awakening. A key passage that I brought up was Ephesians chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. Which says, "This is why it is said, 'Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you.' Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, by making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil." Throughout Scripture, we as Christians are called to wake up from complacency and wake up from being simply fitting into the way the culture around us functions. We have been called to live a life focused not on self-fulfillment and sinfulness, but into a life of honoring and serving the Lord, a life centered on loving God and loving our neighbors. And in order to do that, we need to constantly awaken ourselves up to this new way of living, to make the most of every opportunity God gives us to be His light in this world, a light that shares unity and love and grace and hope and mercy with all people. Now, there's so much about this year that we're living through, this time that we find ourselves in, that we could describe in negative terms. There's a lot we could complain about. Or we could choose to see things in a different way. And we can see this as a unique opportunity that God has given us to really let His light shine, to be the church God has always intended us to be, to refresh and refocus and reawaken ourselves to His design for His church. So to do that, we need to awaken ourselves to the work He's doing around us right now, and awaken ourselves to who He intends us to be, and break out of old habits of living that we've fallen into. We need to offer this world something different than what they're used to in so many ways. And so today I'd like to focus on awakening to our role as peacemakers in this world. In many ways, God calls us to contribute to His work of bringing people together in this world. I have a few scriptures just to highlight this. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 9, Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." There's a blessing God brings to your life if you engage in the role of bringing peace to people's lives. Hebrews 12, 14 says, "Strive for peace with everyone, for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord." So we are called to put an effort into this, to strive for peace with all people. Not just the people that we get along with easily, but all people in this world. James 3:18 says, "And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace." And so our success as a church in fulfilling God's mission for us to make disciples in this world, of bringing in that harvest of righteousness, is tied directly to our ability to make peace with people. And finally, Romans 12, verses 14 through 19. The Apostle Paul writes, "Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord." So far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all people. This is a responsibility that we're given to do all that we can do to live at peace with other people. Not just to wait for peaceful conditions to happen, not just to wait for the right people to come around, but to do everything we can to bring peace into every relationship, every encounter we have with people in this world. Now, there are many people in our world who want peace. They long for peace between people. But it's not something they tend to put effort into. They just tend to want everyone to come around to their way of thinking, and then finally we can get along. But as people redeemed by God, through Jesus' sacrifice, God has given us a role to be active in this work, to be peacemakers in this world, to actively participate in the work of the Holy Spirit to bring divided people together. People like you and I can literally change this world for the better if we will commit to being peacemakers for Christ. Now, just take a look at the world that we live in right now. This world is becoming more and more divided, the opposite of peace. This is what Satan desires to do with people. Every debatable issue is turned into an attack against a person's character. Arguments are handled in ways that shut down any kind of reasonable discussion. Now, there's going to be issues that people disagree on, and there's going to be debate about those, and debate is intended to be a way to get to a greater understanding of the whole issue, to find the truth, or at least find a win-win compromise. But so often, we don't see people even trying to understand one another. People who have opposing views on issues get caught in a cycle of blame and attack that never ends and just drives people further apart. This is the world that we live in. Our world needs peacemakers. People who will respond in a different way, who will break out of that cycle and build relationships and try to get people working together again. One of the ways we see people getting into this cycle of division is through something called false dichotomy. This is something that we see in a lot of ways. It's also called the either-or fallacy. And basically, this is a device that people use to try to manipulate an argument in their favor. It's a way of debating someone in which you create an artificial sense that there are only two possibilities. Either you're with me or you're completely against me and absolutely evil. You create this false sense that those are only two choices, and the goal is to try to make it appear as though the only reasonable choice is to agree with me. For example, either you're going to spend the day with me today or I'm going to just die of boredom. Those are the only two possibilities, right? The reality is there's a whole lot of other space for other things. Let's consider just a few other examples that maybe you've heard. Either you vote for the politicians I support or this nation's going to fall apart completely. Either you are a proud, God-loving patriot or you are a pagan socialist who just wants to destroy this country and live off of the government. Either you support a woman's right to abort her pregnancy or you don't care about women's health. Either you wear a face mask or you don't care about people dying. Either you reject face masks or you're a spineless sheep who's allowing the government to control your life. Either you care about saving lives or you care about the economy. You see how every one of those is set up as there's only two options, and the only good one is the one where you agree with my point of view. It's a fallacy. It's a false argument. But here's what happens in our world today so often. Somebody will say an argument like that, and the person who hears that feels offended and affected by this label that's been placed on them, and so they retaliate. And they just shout back what's wrong with the person who just made this argument. And they get into this cycle of just destroying one another's character. Nobody's actually talking about the issue at hand. They're talking about personal character now and driving each other further apart. Bringing peace to that kind of situation involves recognizing, first of all, you don't have to accept anybody's negative characterization. You don't have to accept that those are the only two possibilities. You might start by simply saying, there are other ways of thinking about this issue and inviting that person to further conversation. I think a lot of peacemaking involves recognizing that you're talking to a person. You're not talking about, you might be talking about issues, but at the root of it all, this is a person, another person made in the image of God that you're dealing with. And if we're ever going to get anywhere, we need to sit down and talk through things together. Invite them into a conversation. Recognize that every issue that's debatable in this world is far more complex than A or B. There's a lot more things to talk about. Now, of course, we can't control how every person's going to respond. And that's why Paul wrote that as far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all people. It's important for us to awaken to our role that God has called us to in these situations, to take whatever steps we can do to really open up dialogue with people, to build relationships with them, and not fall into that trap of labeling everyone who thinks differently than you or retaliating when somebody does it to you. You see that happen so often in our world. Let's be different than that. Let's just break that cycle and say, hey, let's talk about this more. There's much more going on than what you just described. Going back again also to Romans 12, verse 19, Paul says, never avenge yourself, but leave it to the wrath of God. We don't have to defend our character when somebody expresses something wrong with it. We don't have to tear them down or attack them. We can just set that aside and deal with the actual issue. Let God handle defending you if it becomes necessary. You can be the person God has called you to be, who seeks to show his incredible love to people regardless of what anyone else says about you. And if you do actually begin having discussion with someone about your opposing views, the other thing to keep in mind is that you're actually going to have to listen to what they say. And that's another issue that we continue to see in our culture today. People don't actually take time to hear one another out. We're acknowledging what they say. Somebody will bring up an issue and say, this is what we need to do about it. And the other person who doesn't agree with them will just shout over them with their own point of view. And just two people talking over each other, pushing their agenda out. When was the last time you ever heard someone in a heated discussion say, you know, you make a good point there. Maybe we want to consider that. Or acknowledging, hey, you brought up a good issue. Maybe I don't agree with you on how to handle it, but that's a good point, and that is something that we need to deal with. We don't hear anyone saying those kinds of things. Instead, we hear people saying, you've got it all wrong, or that's not an issue at all. If we're going to end division and be peacemakers, we need to begin with acknowledging what another person says. You may disagree again on how to address the issues that they bring out, but the only way to get to real solutions to the problems that we have in our world is find a common ground to start on. We see the Apostle Paul doing this in Acts 17 when he visited Athens. Athens was a place full of idol worship of all kinds. And there were philosophers who talked about their theology and debated about the right way to honor the gods. And the philosophers there wanted to debate with Paul over his beliefs about God. And we read in Acts 17 that Paul began, first of all, by acknowledging that these were very religious people. He saw all the different idols that they worshipped as he went through town. He acknowledged that they had a passion for honoring God. And then he noticed an altar to the unknown God, as it was labeled. And that's where he began his description of Jesus Christ, pointing out, there's an unknown God. You acknowledge that there's a God that you don't know about. Let me tell you about him. And so what Paul did there, first of all, he stood firmly on his beliefs, but he began by showing respect for the people he was debating and found common ground to start his discussion on. We have to come together with people if we're ever going to have reasonable discussion and debate about anything. It doesn't happen when we just argue past one another for whatever point we want to make. I don't know, there's a very common phrase that you've probably heard used over and over, that people don't care what you know until they know that you care. And it's very true. No matter who the person is, they need to know that you care about what they're thinking about, what they're passionate about, before they'll ever stop and listen to what you're saying. And so in Matthew 7, Jesus says, so whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also for them. For this is the law and the prophets. Jesus brings out this point that so often we want people to treat us with respect. We want people to listen to us. He says, do that for others as well. Don't just demand it for yourself, but give that to other people. If we're going to be peacemakers in this world, we need to break that cycle and be the first, the ones that go first and say, hey, you know what? I'll listen to you and let you go first before I bring up my issue. Let me acknowledge the points that you're making. Now, I share all these things with you today out of a deep desire to see the end to the cycle of division we see happening in our world, where the gap between people just continues to grow bigger and bigger. And it seems like every kind of media source we have out there amplifies that because it draws people's attention and gets people talking. So let's just show that more and more. But that cycle just keeps going on, and we never get anywhere with one another. The hatred grows. And I don't have all the right answers about how to fix it. And I'm not even sure I can articulate it as well as I wish I could. But I do know this, that God has called his people to be peacemakers. And our world needs people who will seek to find ways to build bridges with people rather than keep fighting for what they want. There certainly are some big issues in our world that affect our security and our safety and our well-being, and there are big disagreements about how to address those issues. We'll never find answers if all we do is just keep that cycle going of arguing past one another and insulting people. First and foremost, as Christians, we are called to be people who seek God's will. And his will for us is to love one another, to love our neighbor, to love all people, and bring peace into our relationships, trusting him to handle all of our needs. And that's why I think we are uniquely equipped as Christians to be peacemakers in this world, because our security is in Christ. It's not in our ability to defend ourselves. It's not in our ability to make sure people know the right way to handle things according to our perspective. Our security is in Christ. And he is Lord above all things, and he promises to provide. And I'm sure we all have experiences as we've walked this path of Christianity where we've seen God provide in just incredible ways. We know that he will take care of things. We know we don't have to struggle and strive for ourselves. We can trust him. And as we trust him, we can step into these situations seeking to bring peace to people, allowing people to speak and have their say, and then engaging in a reasonable discussion with one another. We need to awaken to that role that we have to bring peace into people's relationships. So let me close with this passage from Ephesians 4, verses 1 through 3, where Paul says, "I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as we were called to the one hope that belongs to your call." We honor the Lord when we live in humility and gentleness and bear with one another, seeking to build that bond of peace that the Holy Spirit brings. We have it within us because the Spirit has filled us to be peacemakers in this world that is so full of striving and division. Let's awaken to that role. Let's ask God to show us ways to step out of the cycle ourselves, to not engage in these debates in the way the world was, but to engage with people in the way he calls us to, bringing in his love and grace and mercy to every situation. Let's ask God to help us bring peace to our world, real peace through his Spirit. Let's give thanks to God for the ability that he gives us to serve him in this world, and then praise him as we close our service today. Heavenly Father, there are so many ways that we need you, Lord, and we get caught up in trying to make those things happen. Lord, as Christians, sometimes we understand your word and your truth, and we want so badly for the world to live according to your ways and experience life that you offer, that we start to push it on people. We start to get demanding. Lord, help us to find a way to bring your will into this world in a peaceful manner, in ways that bring people together, Lord, because ultimately we know your will is to bring people together in love, fellowship with one another, and fellowship with you most of all. Lord, awaken us to the way you've called us to live in this world, Lord. Let us make a difference in this time for you so that your light may shine in many more lives because of the efforts we make to live full of your Spirit. We pray this, Lord, in Jesus' name.